The first reading from 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. And the reading from John 1, verses 14 to 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Well, good morning, everybody, and warm greetings from me. We're going to pray, and then we're going to turn to our passage for this morning. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for all that Christmas means. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the gift of his coming into our world. Please now watch over us for good and enable us to rejoice in these great truths for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, everybody, we're going to turn to our Bible passage in a moment, but first I want to introduce you to two acquaintances. Their names are Gaius and Lydia. Gaius and Lydia are both Roman citizens. They are living in Ephesus, but they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Gaius and Lydia heard the gospel, and hearing it, they turned away from their pagan gods to the one true God in repentance and faith, and found God's grace overflowed toward them. Now that old phrase, God's grace overflowing toward them, is a phrase that we find in the reading we had earlier from 1 Timothy. If you've got your Bibles there, 1 Timothy and chapter 1, Paul begins the little section in verse 12 by saying, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength." And looking back on his own story, there in verse 14 we read, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Well, that happened to Gaius and Lydia when they believed the gospel. It happened to Saul of Tarsus when he, confronted with the risen Christ, had his life turned around. Now, unlike Saul, Gaius and Lydia didn't have to throw off the burden of Pharisaism, that terrible teaching that had dogged Jesus' public ministry and had dominated the previous life of the Apostle Paul. No, Gaius and Lydia were Gentiles. They were living at the time of Emperor Claudius. We know it as the early 50s AD. And as Christian believers, of course, at that stage, they had nothing resembling our Bible. Regularly, they would meet with other believers to break bread, to share wine, and to do that in remembrance of Jesus, to bring their prayers and thanks to him. They would, I think, have been astonished at our celebration of Christmas, not least at the public decorations. I mean, things like great spectacular Christmas trees around Buxton, or the state making provision for Christmas celebration in the midst of a pandemic. I don't know what Gaius and Lydia would have made of that. But I think they would perhaps have been delighted to be told that there was such a thing as a Christmas feast, a sumptuous meal symbolizing God's goodness and love and grace poured out abundantly. Well, such, I trust, you have enjoyed. Now, the great truths that Gaius and Lydia had come to understand and believe were affirmed and passed on in those days by word of mouth. And interestingly, in the short letters in our New Testament known as the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy is the first of them. There's a second one to Timothy and one to Titus. In those pastoral epistles, five of these sayings, well-known sayings, sayings that would have been familiar to the Christians of the day, so familiar that Paul can simply refer to them, to Timothy, as trustworthy sayings. Five of these sayings are recorded. And this Sunday and next, we are going to be pondering, thinking, reflecting on two of those sayings. The first one is here in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. It's there in verse 15. Let me read. Paul says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Now, one writer who has studied these five sayings is an American by the name of George Knight. He wrote this: "The sayings, these five trustworthy sayings, and they are scattered through the pastoral letters, the sayings show the orientation to Christ of the early church. That is, if you were to speak to Gaius and Lydia and ask what were they doing when they gathered together with other believers, they would say, well, we're focusing on Jesus. They were orientated toward Christ. The sayings show the orientation to Christ of the early church. This orientation is demonstrated by the fact that the sayings either speak in terms of the person and work of Christ, this first one we're going to look at this morning does precisely that, or reflect a teaching or saying of Christ, which we will see next Sunday. Knight continues, "With these sayings, we have come to the self-conscious creedal and liturgical expressions of the early church, of its faith and life." In other words, this is the kind of thing they would have said to one another when they met together. Here we have, before the writing of the New Testament, a window into the common creedal confession of the early church. We are a long time before the writing of the Nicene Creed. That is 3rd century. We are in the middle of the 1st century. We are before the writing of the Gospels. Here then we have something very early and all the more interesting for that. So have a look with me, would you, at this trustworthy saying. Let me read it again. Verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now the little section here is quite autobiographical of Paul. Paul is speaking to Timothy of the way in which this grace was poured out abundantly on him. He says at the end of the saying, "Of whom I am the worst." Paul knew himself to be one of those whom Christ came into the world to save. We're going to think about the subject of this saying. We're going to think about its substance. And then we're going to think about what Paul asserts here at the beginning when he says that it deserves full acceptance. So let's begin with the substance. What is this saying about? Here is a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's not a very long text. We're just going to reflect on that short saying. Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, who the subject of the sentence is. It's not Paul. It's not the church. The subject is the Lord Jesus. Interestingly here, called not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. The order of the names can be swapped depending on the emphasis the writer wants to put. You'll remember that Christ is the Old Testament title for God's anointed Messiah King. If you write Christ Jesus, it is a way of saying King Jesus. He is the King the Old Testament promised, the King of prophetic expectation. Christ Jesus came into the world. That is the great truth of which John writes in that passage we had read earlier. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We call it sometimes the incarnation because it reminds us that this is someone coming into our world, the second person of the eternal Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son takes upon himself human flesh. He enters our world from the outside and is born miraculously of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And our creed, the Nicene Creed, speaks clearly in very careful language of the way in which he is of one substance with the Father. He is truly God made man. Well, that's the subject of our sentence. It's a pretty good text, I think, isn't it, for 2 days after Christmas. Christ Jesus came into the world. We've been celebrating that great event. Not, you'll notice, technically his birthday, because he has been him from all eternity. We celebrate his incarnation, his coming into the world. Well, that's the subject of this trustworthy saying. Now, the substance. Well, the substance is the second part of it, and this is where it begins to move from the fact of what happened into the meaning or significance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I think that is such a familiar truth for us that probably we need just to take a deep breath in order to notice its significance. It is a remarkable thing to say, but familiarity with a remarkable truth can dull the senses a bit. Interestingly, time and again, the New Testament emphasizes what a remarkable thing this is. John, in his gospel, spells out that Jesus came not to judge and condemn the world, but to save the world. You might remember the song of the angels on the night that Jesus was born, proclaimed peace on earth. Or Simeon, the aged Simeon, who takes the Christ child in his arms and declares, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Well, in our John reading, we read that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No surprise then that this is a trustworthy saying. Grace and truth are all bound up there in the coming of Jesus Christ. Friends, these are rare commodities. They are rare enough in our own day. Truth appears to be forever in flight to lies. They were rare commodities, of course, in the first century. Gaius and Lydia would not have lived in a society that was full of either grace or truth. Here then is a marvellous saying and a marvellous truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the gift of God to our world. Christmas time, we share gifts, don't we? In token or in symbolism of the great gift, God's unspeakably great gift. God, who so loved the world, gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I imagine that your family, like mine, it's slightly mayhem when gifts are being distributed, but a gift is designed to be gladly received and accepted. That, of course, was what Saul did, Saul the Pharisee, and he became Paul the Apostle. He says here in verse 16 that although it's a bit of a mystery to him why it was that God showed such mercy to him, nevertheless, he says, he is now sure that it was in order to set an example for those others who would believe on Jesus. I imagine Gaius and Lydia were thrilled at the example of Saul becoming Paul. These examples run all the way through our New Testament, and they are meant to encourage us today. For as we put our faith and trust in Jesus today, so we join with Paul in this great language. Listen to verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And how can we say anything else but amen to that? One of the great carols puts it like this. I think you'll recognize the words. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and meek and lowly, lived on earth our Saviour holy. The trustworthy saying identifies him as that Saviour. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, it's a great saying. Its subject is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Its substance is this declaration that he came into our world in order to save sinners. Now, there's one more thing we ought to notice, and that comes there at the beginning of verse 15, where Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And that's an interesting little phrase, and it raises quite a fascinating question. The question is this: what does Paul mean by full acceptance? Has he in mind full in the sense of extensive, so that everybody believes it? Or has he in mind intensive, that is, that we should believe it fully, as deeply, as profoundly as we possibly can? Now, there is no doubt that both of those are true. The Apostle Paul was very keen that everybody should believe this, and he was very keen that those who did believe it should believe it deeply and profoundly. The question is, which did Paul mean here? Now, there are very good reasons, some fairly technical, to do with the way he's written it, that what Paul meant was intensive in this place. The grammar suggests it, and the very fact that he's writing to Timothy and giving Timothy his instructions for how to conduct his oversight of churches and ministers in and around Ephesus, to think that what Paul was saying here was that this saying deserves full, deep, profound acceptance. Now, what does that involve? Well, it certainly involves accepting who Jesus truly is, fully God and fully man. It ought to involve some thinking about that, a deep and profound understanding, so far as we can fathom it, of what the incarnation means. It also involves really understanding why it is that he came. That he came not to condemn, but to save. But beyond those two things, can I suggest that it also means a number of other important things? To believe it fully means to be equipped to speak about it to a world that needs to hear. So we have a trustworthy saying, simple, yes, in a sense, about Christ Jesus. He is the subject of it. Its substance, that he came into the world to save sinners, although, of course, there's nothing very simple about that. We need to get our heads around it. But a saying that deserves full acceptance. Now, I think this suggests two or three questions that it is worth just pausing on before we finish. Here's the first one. How do you think Lydia and Gaius would have said this trustworthy saying? I mean, suppose they bump into each other in the market in Ephesus. What can you imagine they might say? Or perhaps when they meet together in church? It might be, it seems, that it was used as a sort of two-part statement. So one person would say, Christ Jesus came into the world proclaiming a great truth. And the other would say, to save sinners, even me. And that's rather a fun thing to do, isn't it? Can you imagine doing that in the middle of the supermarket in Buxton? Try it out. You bump into a Christian, and one of you says, Christ Jesus came into the world. And the other one says, to save sinners, even me. You high five as well, if you wish. I'm not sure high fives were in fashion in the first century. I haven't checked up on that. Liturgically, that is within the order of service, they would also have used phrases like this. And perhaps the leader would say, Christ Jesus came into the world. And everybody would say, to save sinners, even us. Well, that's one question. Here's another one. Why should we believe it? Why should we take this on board? Why should we believe it and accept it? Well, the historic testimony in the Gospels all points in that direction. Luke, you remember, was Paul's travelling companion. He was a medical doctor who turned from that great work in order to be with Paul and to write a major contribution to the New Testament, his gospel and the book of Acts. Luke's gospel gives many reasons, beginning with the story of the birth of this Jesus, why we should believe it. Could say, well, the example of the transformation in Paul, Saul becoming Paul, is a great example of the truth of it. We believe it because it is a trustworthy saying. It speaks both of events that are historically verifiable and of the impact of those events in people's lives. And so to my third and last reflection, and this is back to this question about what would it mean to believe it fully? Well, I think it would mean to take time to grasp these great truths. The truths of the incarnation, the kind of thing that we affirm when we say something like the Nicene Creed. But also to ponder the great miracle of the virgin birth, of Mary's humility and of Joseph's obedience. To fully accept it, of course, means that we put our trust in him as our saviour, as Saul did, as Gaius and Lydia did, as hundreds of thousands have in countries around the world and down the ages. And having done that, it means, like Paul, that we reckon ourselves now to be saved sinners, that we rejoice in the fact that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So to deserve it full, to accept it fully, means all of those things. Taking time to grasp the truths, trusting him ourselves, reckoning ourselves saved sinners. And how can we encourage each other to do that? Well, I suppose one way is to try out one another with a saying like this. Why did Jesus come, you might ask your friend? And the answer is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Or you can try my two-part suggestion. Next time I see you, I might try it out on you. Lastly, what does it mean to fully accept this? Well, surely it means to rejoice. To rejoice that Christ Jesus came into the world at all is a great thing to know and to believe. But to know that he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, is one that leads us, like Paul, to rejoice in the grace and the love that are ours in Christ, that grace that has overflowed to us, being poured out abundantly. And to say with Paul, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for bringing truth into our world so full of difficulty and sadness and darkness and lies. Thank you that we can put our trust in this saying, that this is a trustworthy saying. And we ask for ourselves, we ask for one another in these days after Christmas, that we might not only reflect on these things, but that we might fully, deeply, profoundly accept this truth, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to rejoice in it always. Amen.